Peterson said nothing more, and a minute later dinner arrived. Plates piled high, mashed potatoes, plenty of gravy. The coffee was an hour old, and it had suffered in terms of taste, but gained in terms of strength. Peterson asked, "What exactly did you do in the MPs?" Reacher said, "Whatever they told me to." "Serious crimes?" "Sometimes." "Homicides?" "Everything from attempted to multiple." "How much medical training did you get?"
"Worried about the food here?"
"I like to know things, too." "I didn't get much medical training, really. I was trying to make the old folks feel better, that's all." "They spoke well of you."
"Don't trust them. They don't know me."
Peterson didn't reply. Reacher asked, "Where was the dead guy found?
Where the police car was blocking the side street?"
"No, that was different. The dead guy was somewhere else."
"He wasn't killed there."
"How do you know?"
"No blood in the snow. Hit someone hard enough in the head to kill them, the scalp splits. It's inevitable. And scalps bleed like crazy. There should have been a pool of blood a yard across."
Peterson ate in silence for a minute. Then he asked, "Where do you live?" Which was a difficult question. Not for Reacher himself. There was a simple answer. He lived nowhere, and always had. He had been born the son of a serving military officer in a Berlin infirmary, and since the day he had been carried out of it, swaddled in blankets, he had been dragged all over the world, through an endless blur of military bases and cheap off-post accommodations, and then he had joined up himself and lived the same way on his own account. 4 years at West Point was his longest period of residential stability, and he had enjoyed neither West Point nor stability. Now that he was out of the service, he continued the transience. It was all he knew, and it was a habit he couldn't break. Not that he had ever really tried. He said, "I'm a nomad." Peterson said, "Nomads have animals. They move around to find pasture. That's the definition."
"Okay. I'm a nomad without the animals part."
"You're a bum."
"Possibly." "You got no bags."
"You got a problem with that?"
"It's weird behavior. Cops don't like weird behavior."
"Why is it weirder to move around than spend every day in the same place?" Peterson was quiet for a spell, and then he said, "Everyone has possessions."
"I've got no use for them. Travel light, travel far."
Peterson didn't answer. Reacher said, "Whatever, I'm no concern of yours. I never heard of Bolton before. If the bus driver hadn't twitched, I'd have been at Mount Rushmore tonight." Peterson nodded, reluctantly.
"I can't argue with that," he said.
9:55 in the evening. 54 hours to go. 1,700 miles to the south, inside the walled compound 100 miles from Mexico City, Plato was eating too, a ribeye steak flown in all the way from Argentina. 11:00 in the evening, local time. A late dinner. Plato was dressed in chinos and a white button-down shirt and black leather penny loafer shoes, all from the Brooks Brothers Boys collection. The shoes and the clothes fit very well, but he looked odd in them. They were made for fat, white, middle-class American children, and Plato was old and brown and squat and had a shaved bullet head. But it was important to him to be able to buy clothes that fit right out of the box. Made to measure was obviously out of the question. Tailors would wield the tape and go quiet and then call out small numbers with studied and artificial neutrality. Alteration of off-the-rack items was just as bad. Visits from nervous local seamstresses and the furtive disposal of lengths of surplus fabric upset him mightily. He put down his knife and his fork and dabbed his lips with a large white napkin. He picked up his cell phone and hit the green button twice to return the last call he had received. When it was answered, he said,
"We don't need to wait. Send the guy in and hit the witness."
The man in the city villa asked, "When?"
"As soon as would be prudent."
"Okay."
"And hit the lawyer, too, to break the chain."
"Okay."
"And make sure those idiots know they owe me big."
"Okay."
"And tell them they better not bother me with this kind of shit ever again."
Halfway through the pot roast, Reacher asked, "So why was that street blocked off?" Peterson said, "Maybe there was a power line down." "I hope not, because that would be a strange sense of priorities. You leave 20 seniors freezing on the highway for an hour to guard a power line on a side street?" "Maybe there was a fender bender." "Same answer." "Does it matter? You were already on your way into town by that point." "That car had been there for 2 hours or more. Its tracks were full of snow. But you told us no one was available." "Which was true. That officer wasn't available. He was doing a job."
"What job?"
"None of your business."
"How big is your department?"
"Big enough."
"And they were all busy?"
"Correct." "How many of them were busy sitting around doing nothing in parked cars?" "You got concerns, I suggest you move here and start paying taxes, and then talk to the mayor, or Chief Holland."
"I could have caught a chill."
"But you didn't."
"Too early to say."
They went back to eating, until Peterson's cell phone rang. He answered, and listened, and hung up, and pushed his plate to one side. "Got to go. You wait here."
"I can't," Reacher said. "This place is closing up. It's 10 o'clock. The waitress wants us out of here. She wants to go home."
Peterson said nothing. Reacher said, "I can't walk. I don't know where I'm supposed to go, and it's too cold to walk anyway." Peterson said nothing. Reacher said, "I'll stay in the car. Just ignore me."
"Okay,"
Peterson said, but he didn't look happy about it. Reacher left a $20 bill on the table. The waitress smiled at him. Which she should, Reacher thought. 2 pot roasts and a cup of coffee at South Dakota prices, he was leaving her a 60% tip. Or maybe it was all tip, if Bolton was one of those towns where cops ate for free. The Crown Vic was still faintly warm inside. Peterson hit the gas, and the chains bit down, and the car pushed through the snow on the ground. There was no other traffic except for snowplows taking advantage of the lull in the fall. Reacher had a problem with snowplows. Not the machines themselves, but the compound word. A plow turned earth over and left it in place. Snowplows didn't do that with snow. Snowplows were more properly bulldozers. But whatever. Peterson overtook them all, didn't pause at corners, didn't yield, didn't wait for green lights. Reacher asked, "Where are we going?" "Western suburbs.